Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. Thanks for tuning in to Redemption High Dimensions Radio Broadcast. I'm Linda Shore, the evangelist for the hour, and I pray, Father, that we have connected and joined together again for broadcast. Sunday message, hearing shepherd's voice. Hearing the shepherd's voice. It's so important that we hear our shepherd's voice. We're going to go to the scripture to give them understanding of how important it is for us to understand God's voice in our life. And, of course, he is the good shepherd, the great shepherd that leads and guides us, praise the Lord. He's left the Holy Spirit so that we may understand what he is saying in our lives. Because the Holy Spirit is here to lead and guide us into all truth. But before we go into the Word of God, we want to go before the throne of grace. Heavenly Father, we say thank you today for another glorious opportunity to come before your presence with a listening audience. And God, we're just asking that you would just be with us and that you would give us, Lord God, the understanding of your word and help us to hear your voice through your word, God, as you speak to our hearts, God, that we may comprehend the depths of what you're saying to us, God, and the vision and purpose in what you're doing, Lord. And so we pray that your people will be able to hear, that the scriptures may become alive to them, God, that they will understand how important it is to hear your voice so that we can walk in the obedience of your word by faith when we listen and obey and heed your word. The day we hear your voice, we will not harden our hearts. So we give you the glory today, and God, and we ask that you will just bless those that stand in need of healing, deliverance, God. Let mercy triumph over judgment today. We thank you so much, God, for keeping us, keeping our families and friends safe, God, and that you're ruling in the affairs of men, in our government, in our churches, and all abroad, God. In every nation whose God is the Lord, may you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And again, thank all of you for tuning in to the broadcast. We're talking today on the broadcast about hearing the shepherd's voice. Hearing the shepherd's voice. We want to go to the book of John, and we want to look at the 10th chapter there, where God is giving us some instruction, some understanding of his sheep. We are his sheep. And we should be able to decipher, to understand, and discern God's voice from any other voice in the world. There are many other spirits, the Bible declares, that have gone out into the world, many other voices. And so many times, if our lives are not rooted in the Word of God, where his Spirit is dwelling with us, where we can hear him, we're always in his presence, we can be led astray by other voices. And we know that if we're connected with God, that won't happen to the body of believers, because God will not have to be ignorant, he said, of his word concerning Satan's devices. There's nothing that the enemy can do that can lead us away, lead us astray from the Spirit and the living word of God. But John chapter 10, and we want to look here at verse 27. It says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Verse 28 says, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." Very powerful message here. Let's look at 29th verse. "My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my hand." Key scripture here in verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice." That's key, because the Lord has left us his Spirit, that we should be able to discern his voice. And we do that by the word of God. Anything that doesn't line up with the word of God and his divine Spirit that have moved us into a direction, into a place in him, we know that it's not of God. When God speaks to us, we shall automatically adhere to his voice. And we adhere to the inerrant word of God, where there is no errors. And so God wants us to be able to hear his voice. You know, we can hear the voice of many people, and they mean well in our lives, but we absolutely have to hear the voice of God. We know that prophetically people speak into our lives because they have a word. God gives us confirmation of things. But ultimately, of course, coupled with that right, correct prophecy is the voice of God. that will speak to you in your inner spirit. And prophecy comes to confirm God's word in your life. So we're always in the presence of God when we can hear him for ourselves. It's very important that you hear God for yourself. You know, if you're not able to hear God for yourself as a new believer, a new convert, that's understandable. And God will gently continue to guide you and give you so many powerful words of confirmation that he's with you, that he's speaking to you. He will show you the path of life, confirm his word to you with fallible proof of miracles and signs and wonders. God does that. And so we have to look for God. That's why he said in his word that if you will seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Because God wants to be sought after. And when you continue to seek after God, he will reveal himself unto you. Hallelujah. And then you will have that understanding to discern his voice. We have to grow in the grace and the mercies of God to be able to hear his voice. And once we grow in Christ, we're able to hear his voice. Again, and I wanted to reemphasize that if you're not in a place where you're seeking the Lord to hear his voice, to understand him, of course, after time has gone past, many times have gone past, you're able to be led by other people's opinions, their thoughts, their ideas, what they feel. And again, some people may mean well, but what does the Lord say? What does the Lord say? Because some things and some people can get you out of the will of God where you're moving because of the influence of others upon your life, where you have to be in a place and remain in God to where he's speaking to you to take you to the place of your destiny. And just because someone said it doesn't mean that that is what God wants you to do. You have to be discerning again. Prophecy comes to confirm the word of God. It doesn't mean that you are totally influenced by the opinions of others. You have to have your relationship with God independent of someone else's relationship or their idea or their word. And so we want to look at some serious scriptures in here as it relates to obeying the voice of God. Now, we know that Samuel, the great prophet, was giving Saul, King Saul at the time, some words of the Lord to obey the instructions. I heard someone said once before that every miracle that God has for our lives comes with instructions. And that is so true. That is so true. Because how will you know the appearance of it? How would you know how close you are to it? God gives you instructions. He gives us instructions in life because he's leading us in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. So in order for you to reach your purpose, your destiny, there are some instructions that you must hear God is telling you in your life. So we look here in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel. This is going to be a very interesting story. Because in this book of 1 Samuel, we're going to see a man called Saul that was determined to do things his way, that he did not want to heed the voice of the Lord. And he was in a place of leadership, kingship, where he should have been obeying and heeding and listening to the voice of God. But you have many people in leadership that does not adhere to the voice of God, that want to do their own thing. They move out before time. And a lot of time when people disobey God, disobey his voice, it's because they're moving out hastily to do what they want to do, having that selfish ambition, not willing to wait on the Lord. And so many times we all have been guilty of moving out a little bit in haste because we want something to happen right now. We don't really understand. We don't want to be in certain situations. But that's why we're bringing forth the message, so we that those of us, when we're listening to God, we won't move out in haste anymore, or we won't do anything that will cause our destiny to be delayed or blessings or miracles. Well, we can wait on the Lord because, you know, you have to go through those tests again. So when we look at 1 Samuel chapter 10, I want to look at this particular verse first because this verse is really going to set the stage for what we're going to talk about in Saul disobeying the voice of God through the prophet Samuel. So 1 Samuel chapter 10, and let's look at verse 8. Now, the Spirit of the Lord, of course, was upon Saul. Samuel had anointed him to be king. We want to hasten up and just pretty much give a brief survey of the scriptures previously, because we don't have a lot of time to go through all of them. But God had anointed King Saul through the prophet Samuel. And so when we look here at verse 8, Samuel was giving Saul some instructions to do. Look what he says here. You should go down before me to Gilgal. Now he's telling Saul, go before me. Go ahead of me to Gilgal. And surely I will come down to you to offer burnt offering and make sacrifice of peace offering. 7 days you shall wait till I come to you and show you what you should do. Now, I want to stop right there, and then we're going to skip over to another verse in here. We're going to skip over to chapter 13. Now, we just read that Samuel told King Saul to go down to Gilgal and wait till he get there so that he can come and show him what to do. Because being a new king, he needs to know the proper way of sacrificing burnt offering to the Lord, of sacrificing worship to God. He needed to understand the spiritual significance of what he's doing in the presence of God. And that is one of the reasons in the spirit that God wants us to hear his voice and not every other voice that is pulling us in different directions. Because God has the blueprint, let's just say that word, for our destiny. And others, you know what, they can't see the whole picture of what God is doing in your life. And a lot of times when you don't do as other people want you to do, you know, it brings about a friction with some. And it shouldn't be that way, because people need to realize that our lives are being governed and guided by God. And when you're not led to do certain things, and you're not led to go certain places, and when you're not led to say certain things, it's because God has his hand on your life, and he will press upon your spirit what to do and what not to do. And so there are just some things in the spirit that God wants to direct our lives. We haven't yet finished learning all that Christ is, and he wants to take us on a path to show us more of who he is, put more patience in us. There's people that we need to meet. So there are reasons why God does certain things, why he's speaking to you to do a certain thing and to wait for him. So we see again, Samuel told Saul to go down to Gilgal to offer, wait for him. He said, I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and make sacrifices of peace offering. 7 days shall you wait. This is the instructions of the Lord. Till I come to you and show you what you should do. Now, we're going to skip over to chapter 13. Let's skip over to chapter 13. Saul's sacrifice before Samuel arrived. Chapter 13, verse 9. Let's go right there, because we have other scriptures that we want to get to before the broadcast ends. So 1 Samuel chapter 13, and I don't want to go to verse 9 yet, because I want to talk a little bit about what happens at verse 9. So if you go here, let's look here a little bit at verse 5. Then the Philistines gathered together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen and people as the sand, which is on the seashore in multitudes, and they came up and encamped in Michmash to the east of Behaven. Verse 6 says, when the men of Israel saw that they were in danger, for the people were distressed, then the people hid in caves, in thickets, in rocks, in holes, and in pits. And some of the Hebrew crossed over the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilgad. As for Saul, he was still in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. Then he waited 7 days, according to the same time by Samuel. Look, Then he waited 7 days according to the time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. So verse 9, now all of that I just read was to let you see and understand, okay, this could have been a test for Saul. Samuel didn't come at that exact point in time. But see, the test was still to wait for him to come to show Saul what to do in burnt offerings and sacrificing burnt offerings. Now, we see the distress that came upon Israel right here, and everybody began to scatter and hide and, you know, go into cave. And, you know, so Saul being king, a new king at that, you know, I'm sure he was under distress as well, because all of the situation is beginning to happen. Now, that is the situation I'm talking about that causes us to go out in haste. Oh, it hasn't happened yet. What is going on? I need to make this decision right now. And in those stressful moments, we're not able to hear God. When we are in distress, you're not able to hear God, and we allow worry, frustration to stress us out. It is just so good to be at peace with God in the moment where something you thought should happen and it didn't happen as you thought it would or planned it would. But look what Saul did in verse 9. So Saul said, bring a burnt offering and a peace offering here to me, and offer the burnt offering. Let's read verse 9 again. And Saul said, bring a burnt offering and a peace offering here to me. And he offered the burnt offering. Oh, this is like totally disobedient. I don't care how afraid, you know, how distressed we are. This was still disobedience because Samuel have not arrived. It's like doing something that you have never done before. When the instructor says, wait until I come to show you what to do, you're messing up. You're not going to get it right because there could be some details that you've overlooked because the instructor have not given you the instruction, because there are many things that are so significant. And when we're talking about the spiritual things in God, we have to make sure that we're hearing God and that we're waiting on his time. Hearing the voice of God is so important to your life. Hearing the voice of God. Let me just go on so we can have time to get to these other scriptures. Verse 10 says, now it happened as soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering that Samuel came. See, it was only a matter of minutes, seconds that Samuel showed up. It wasn't days. You see what I'm saying? And this was pretty much a test, because the test in our life proves us for God. The test in our lives show God what's in our heart, whether we're going to obey him. So we have to pass the test and come out as pure gold. You know, the Bible says after you have been tried in the fire, you know, tested, then you'll come out as pure gold. You will be tested, tried, and you will be favored in God's eyes because you remained in him. That's another word God wanted me to use today, to remain in God. I stress so many times how people should remain in God. Don't get out of God's will. You have to remain in God. So let's look at it again. Verse 10 says, now it happened as soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering that Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him that he might greet him. Verse 11, and Samuel said, what have you done? Saul said, when I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that you did not come worship, you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered together at Michmash, then I said, the Philistines will now come on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplications to the Lord. And excuse me, I don't have my reading glasses on today, but now, just stay with me here. So listen what Saul is making an excuse. Saul felt that because the Philistines, the enemy was coming upon him, and that he didn't make supplications or burnt offerings worship to the Lord, that the Philistines was going to overtake him. Now, he is taking things in his own matter, not knowing that God is still ruler over every single thing. He have already been given the instructions what to do, so now he's coming about with his own instructions. So we go a little further here. So after he made those excuses of what, you know, why he sacrificed, verse 11, let's look at verse 12. Then I said, again, he said, the Philistines will now come on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore, I left, I felt compelled, he said, and offered a burnt offering. Yeah. He felt compelled and offered a burnt offering. Our feelings and emotions can get us in trouble. Our feelings and emotions can really get us in trouble. That nervousness, that anxiousness. That's why it's so good to wait on the Lord. I have a powerful testimony, and one day in life I should be able to share it with you, how it's so good to wait on God. I don't care how extreme your situation appears. When you continue to hear God to say, wait, wait, and wait, and you're trusting him, and you're sending these supplications and prayers to God, you're waiting, you're trusting God, you're not getting out of his will, you will be blessed. You will be blessed. You will hear and know when God says to do that. You will hear and you will understand why. It'll all come together to you. The spirit that you discern of the living God will move in you to let you know when you are at your appointed time. So look, verse 13 says, and Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord, your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established you. The Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. See, this is a judgment being pronounced on Saul now because he disobeyed. And so many times when we move out before the Lord, see, God will give you a spirit of conviction. There's just some ways that God deals with different people. You know when the Lord is speaking to you, those of us that are maturing God. That's why we don't despise the chastisement of the Lord, especially as new convert and not even as mature saints. You know, your chastisement should be sporadic, spreading out. You know, you shouldn't be chastised all the time when you're becoming mature in God. As a new convert, you'll be chastised many times because God is getting you to discern his voice. And that chastisement makes you feel pretty much convicted of wrong choices and things that we do that's out of his will. That is a good thing because now you're discerning the spirit and the voice of God. And scriptures become apparent to you to bring back to your remembrance what the Lord is saying to you. So it's very important because now the kingdom was rent from Saul at this moment right here. But we're going to see in other scriptures that he pretty much had some other chances to do right and get it right, but he didn't. But now, again, Samuel tells him, but now the kingdom, verse 14, but now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over the people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. See, now he's talking about David that's going to come forth. And that is a whole other story in and of itself because when David did come forth, Saul began to spew out jealousy and evil. Because when a person don't do what the Lord wants them to do and move forward to do in obedience what God called them to do, then God raises up another. God will raise up another. And then the person that did not do what the Lord wants them to do have the tendency to be jealous and envy and try to break down and kill and slander the person that God has raised up to do what he called them to do. Well, you will do it. So God raised up someone that will. They have a heart after his heart. So he says here, again, the latter part of verse 14, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. Verse 15, then Samuel arose and went up from Gilgal to Gibeah of Benjamin, and Saul numbered the people present with him, about 600 men. Now, we want to stop right there. I really want to stop at verse 14. Now, we got to skip over now to chapter 15. And this is where Saul's given basically another chance. 1 Samuel chapter 15, let's look at verse 1. Let's read to verse 9. And then with your commentary in between. Samuel also said to Saul, The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, heed the voice of the word of the Lord. That's what I wanted to make emphasis on. Heed the voice of the word of the Lord. And that's what God is speaking here, for us to heed the voice of the word of the Lord. Not what we want to do, but what God is saying. See, God has special instructions for us. Just like even with Moses building the temple, anybody, what God has given instructions, they are to be obeyed just as God has said it. But let's keep reading for the sake of time here. Verse 1 again, Samuel also said to Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, heed, listen, heed the voice of the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. So now, for the sake of time, this is God, we're going to skip over to verse 9. This is God telling Saul what he wanted him to do in the battle against God's enemies that were against Israel. There were specific instructions for how he was to wipe out. He didn't tell him to spare not one person. See, now when we obey in some and not in another, it's still disobedience. Partial obedience is still disobedience. Now, so let's look here at verse 3 real quickly. This is what God told him to do for the sake of time. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant, nursing child, oxen, sheep, camel, and donkey. Now that is the instruction that God had given Saul. Why did God tell him to do that and these children and men and women and all of that? Don't get it twisted. Because here in these Old Testament scriptures, God was wiping out the whole seed of evil. The whole seed of evil. He's not telling him to go and wipe out a seed of righteousness, a seed of evil that has been planted. Leave none. Not even the animals. Spirits of the wicked people. Possibly be in them too. So you got to understand what God did and what he meant in these words about wiping out all of these people, because the enemy, the seed of wickedness, has been planted in this whole nation. So he meant business when he told him to wipe these people out. So look here, verse 9. This is the disobedience in verse 9, and I thank God that you can continue to read off the broadcast. But look what the disobedience is. But Saul and the people spared Agag. Now, and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatling, the lamb, and all that was good, and all that was good, and were unwilling to destroy them, but everything despised and worthless that he utterly destroyed to his eyes. Now he kept all that was good and pleasurable to him, and he kept Agag because he felt that he could do something and be of use to him to bring him some honor. God, you know what? Scripture tells us that God discerns our thoughts, every emotion, every inclination. He knows why we're doing things. So we do things out of the wrong motives. God sees that. I mean, he sees it. He sees our very thoughts while we're doing things, while we're saying things. And that's what we're judged on. We're judged on our behavior. We're judged on what we think inside. People may can't see what we think and what we feel and our intentions and our motives, but God does. That's why you got to be very correct in the spirit with God. That's why we can't work no evil against one another, because God sees that. He kept everything that was good to him, and he destroyed what was worthless to him. Verse 10 says, now the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, see, immediately, because God saw what Saul did. Listen what the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, because Saul disobeyed the voice of God. He said, I greatly regret that I have set Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. Samuel was even grieved, crying out to the Lord all night because of this disobedient king Saul. Verse 12 says, so when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he set up a monument for himself. See, that's what it's all about, self and ambition, selfish ambition. And he has gone on around, passed by, and gone down Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Now, he's trying to think he's going to pull something over on Samuel. Saul is saying this, blessing Samuel, you know, just to make him think he's done everything the Lord told him. But verse 14 says, but Samuel said, what then is the bleating of the sheep in my ear and the lowing of oxen which I hear? Yeah, the bleating of sheep, you kept something. You kept these sheep, you kept these oxen. Verse 15 said, and Saul says, they have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and oxen and to sacrifice to the Lord God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Well, that's not what God told you to do, Saul. You see that? He's trying to switch this thing here now, and then he put blame it on the people. Verse 16 says, and then Samuel said to Saul, be quiet. Yeah, like, shut up. I don't want to hear nothing you have to say. I mean, can you imagine Samuel being so aggravated with Saul? Like, you keep being disobedient. You keep doing the wrong thing. You're not listening. And that is how God feels. You're not listening. When we don't hear him speak to us. When we are not obeying his voice. Again, verse 16, then Samuel says, be quiet. And I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And he said to him, speak on. You know, this is Saul saying, speak on. Verse 17 says, so Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not the head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites. Destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. That was the command of the Lord. Verse 19 says, why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord, taking of the spoil? This happened in the time with Joshua, with Achan taking the accursed thing, bringing it into the camp of Israel. And God says, send in the camp. This is the same thing. Verse 20 says, and Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. He's lying. Why are you bringing back Agag then? Why are you bringing back Agag if you did what God told you to do? Verse 21 says, but the people took the plunder, sheep, oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. Well, that's not what the Lord told you, Saul. This is not what the Lord told you, Saul. And then you're supposed to be the king. Why are you letting the people tell you what to do? I'm just paraphrasing to let you understand how this story pretty much in the spirit has gone. Verse 22 says, so Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellious is the sin. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as the iniquity of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. See, he obeyed the people's voice. That's it right there. But Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned around to go away, Saul seized the edge of his garment, his robe, and tore it. You know, like, please don't go, please don't go. You know, I'm just, you know, giving you some dramatic presentation so that you can understand what's going on here. So, you know, he's just crying now. How, you know, this is like the remorse of, like, you just lost everything because of your disobedience. You know, hearing the voice and heeding the voice of the Lord. So Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you. Now, I want to stop right there because we could just go on and on. I don't think I'm going to have time to continue to read all of it. So the kingdom was torn from Saul at that moment. Now, we skip over to verse 35, and Samuel went no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord regretted that he had made him king over Israel. Now, I don't know if we're going to have time to go to chapter 28, but I'll do my best. But in chapter 28, here is a great story in chapter 28. Because in chapter 28, we're going to see that God stopped speaking to Saul. And because God stopped speaking to Saul, he went and sought out to speak to a medium. Now, we're just going to pick up right here in verse chapter 28 of 1 Samuel, verse 6. 1 Samuel, chapter 28, verse 6. Look, talking about he, Saul, he inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him by dreams or the Urim or prophets. See, the Urim was that anointed piece where the prophets and the priests of the Lord would be able to hear the Lord. Saul then said to the attendants, find me a woman who is a medium, so I may go and inquire of her. There is one in Endor, they said. Okay, now the Lord not speaking to you, so now he's getting his advice from every other person. Now he's really gone deep out now. You know, one disobedience leads to another disobedience, and it just strains you out to get far from the Spirit and the voice of God. You can easily just repent and remain in the place where God will renew you, restore you, and you can begin to hear the Lord again. But when you start dabbling into soothsaying, sorcery, palm reading, witchcraft, and all that kind of stuff, you really have gotten far from the Lord. You're seeking your answers for somebody else that cannot help you at all. It may seem that because those people have some type of spirit that they operate out of, using their God-given gifts in another way, a way that's not divine, a way that's not spiritual, a way that God did not tell them to use their gifts. Yes, those people are out there, and sometimes they know what they're talking about. But your answers should come from the Lord. Our expectations, our answers comes from the Lord. He's the one that's governing, guiding our life. So they told him, yeah, there's a woman. So we look at verse 8. 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 8. So Saul disguised himself, put on other clothes, and at night he and two men went to the woman, consult the spirit for me, he said. And he said, and bring up for me the one I name. So he wanted the prophet Samuel to come to him. Now he didn't listen to Samuel when Samuel was alive. But now since Samuel is dead, you want to listen. You want to get the word. You want to find out the instructions of the Lord, because see, God will leave you empty. God will leave you empty. And I know sometimes we are not always in a place where we can hear every single moment, every word God is speaking, because sometimes he'll take us through that test again. But it doesn't mean he has left you. You have to remain in that place in the spirit of the living God and meditating and reading his word, trusting God. Being still in the Lord, worshiping him, praising him, for his spirit to come back forth to speak to you. He hasn't left you. He has not left you. It's because you don't feel God doesn't mean he's left you. But we see he have left Saul. And mostly time when God leaves a person, he withdraw his spirit, they go on out there to do whatever they want to do. They're not hearing the voice of the Lord. But the woman said to him, to him. Surely you know what Saul has done. He has cut off the Medians and the spiritism of the land. Why have you set a trap for my life to bring about the death? Now, Saul, being king, had already banished and told these people, get out of here. You know, he operated during that time in some of the spirit of the Lord. So now the very thing that you banished, you're going back to pull up to seek, let them seek out for you an answer to pull up Samuel from the dead. This is like people, these shows that have the spiritism people up there bringing their loved ones back, hearing from their loved ones from the dead, that's totally against the word of God. Because the Bible said the dead know nothing. Your dead is not going to speak to you. The Spirit of the Lord has them. They you know, whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. So you don't pull up the dead. You have dreams sometimes of your loved ones and you feel a certain way. And, you know, anything that happens in that matter comes from God to just maybe comfort your heart, bringing some consolation, some peace. God has given you that. But nothing is coming from that dead person. Saul swore to her by the Lord, as surely as the Lord lives, you will not be punished for this. He's lying to her just to get what he wants. So 1 Samuel 28 says, then the woman asked, whom shall I bring up for you? He said, bring up Samuel, he said. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried out at the top of her voice and said, Saul, why have you deceived me? You are Saul. Because the Lord let her recognize that. It was a serious thing. So she got afraid. The king said to her, don't be afraid. What do you see? The woman said, I see a ghostly figure coming up out of the earth. What does he look like? He asked. An old man wearing a robe is coming up, he said. Then Saul knew it was Samuel, and he bowed down and prostrated himself with his face to the ground. And I hope I have time to finish reading this. Samuel said to Saul, why have you served me by bringing up me? By bringing me up. I am in great distress, Saul said. The Philistines are fighting against me, and God has not departed, and God has departed from me. He has no longer answered me, either by prophet or by dream. So I have called on you to tell me what to do. How sad is this picture that Saul wanted Samuel to give him an answer when God wouldn't give him an answer? This is really twisted. So Samuel says, this is what Samuel said to him, why do you consult me now that the Lord has departed from you and become your enemy? The Lord had became Saul's enemy. The Lord has done what he predicted through me. The Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hands and given it to one of your neighbors, to David. He made it known to him. Because you did not obey the Lord and carry out his fierce wrath against the Amalekites, the Lord has done this to you this day. The Lord will deliver both Israel and you into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. The Lord will also give the army of Israel into the hands of the Philistines. Immediately Saul fell full length on the ground, filled with fear. Because of Samuel's words, his strength was gone, for he had eaten nothing all day and all night. Yeah, like God just really, really tore him apart because he did it to himself. When the woman came to Saul and saw that he was greatly shaken, she said, look, your servant has obeyed you. I took my life in my hands and did what you told me. She's telling Saul this. You see, he's greatly distressed. Now, please listen to your servant, and let me give you some food so you may eat and have strength to go on your way. Yeah, like, get out of here. You have already caused us enough damage. He refused and said, I will not eat. But his men joined the woman and urged him, and he listened to them and got up from the ground and sat on the couch.